James chapter 3, taming the tongue. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness.
My friend, thank you. Yeah, well, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Fact or fiction? Has anybody else's words ever hurt you? Then you have a definite answer to that. Your words ever got you in trouble?
Yes. Yes.
Have you ever used your words to hurt someone else? Uh-huh. Words like song lyrics can get stuck in our mind, and then we can replay them over and over and over and over again. Tell a young kid how awful they are repeatedly over and over and over and over and over again. Tell your spouse how disappointed you are in them over and over and over and over again. It not only hurts, it begins to negatively affect and change behavior. It actually can borderline evil, especially if you're intentional about hurting someone, to cause them pain, to cause them heartache. And this tendency we have to play this negative words over and over and over in our own head. I could stand at the back of the sanctuary at the end of a service, and I can get 1,000, way to go, Pastor, that was great. Oh, high five, man, that was awesome. Love, the Spirit of the Lord was here today. Everything's awesome, it's great. And then I can get one, didn't like that, not coming back. Which one do you think I play over and over and over in my head, right? You know this, don't we? You get 1,000 attaboys and you get the one, not so good. And we land on this not so good. I guess what I'm talking about is you wiped out 100 warm fuzzies with one cold prickly. Remember those? I even put a picture of them up there. Remember the warm fuzzies and the cold pricklies? Right? The warm fuzzies are happy and kind and nice, and they share, and it's safe environment, and it's cuddly, and it's cozy, right? And then the cold pricklies, angry and miserable and frustrated and afraid and mad and selfish. The world needs more warm fuzzies. We have enough cold pricklies in the world. The tongue, here's your first one. The tongue has the power to create worlds. The tongue has the power to create worlds. All you have to do is go back to the beginning of the Bible and God spoke. And things came into being. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be sky, and there was sky. Let there be water, and there was, let there be land. He just spoke it. Let there be living creatures in the sky and teeming in the water. He spoke his mere breath, and it came to be. Even the word became flesh. Words create worlds. God has an immense power, and so do you. Your words have power to create, to destroy. Your words have power to lift up or to tear down. To curse or to heal, to encourage or discourage. And not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. See, while the tongue creates words that create worlds, here's your next one. The tongue is accountable. The tongue is accountable. Most of us, even in here today, are walking confidently because someone spoke into our life with assurances or with hopes. Some of us are walking around with insecurities and fears because you've listened and you heard and you live in this high anxiety world. Some of you ought not be teaching others. James is giving believers warning about the position of teachers. They are held in a high standard of conduct, and many would be dishing out a lot of cold pricklies. And they should not be teaching. Especially if you find yourself teaching the word of God. And you find yourself bitter. You're a callous bully. You're angry. You're degrading. You're opinionated. These have a hard time fitting into the proper teaching of God's word. I've not met many seminary professors like that. But I have met church Bible study teachers like that. And I have met pastors like that, expressing their own social agendas or their own opinions or even gossip, using words that express their own authority, not God's authority. See, words create worlds. And what kind of world are you creating in your household? What kind of world are you creating in the workplace? What kind of world are you creating in your church? What kind of world are you creating in your car as you're driving down the road? It doesn't take much. I can be driving down the road and I can see somebody whizzing up behind me really quick and weaving in and out of cars and in and out of traffic and then catch up to them at the red light, pull right up next to them. And you can just look over and just see the stress and the anxiousness and the high anxiety going on in that car. Can't you? Or are you that car? can create love or you can create bitterness. You can speak unity or you can speak division. You can speak harmony or you can speak racism. See, we're all going to be held accountable. And if you're going to teach others, even more so. Proverbs 18 would say that the tongue has the power of life and death. And James gives us a pretty strong, direct approach to our lives. He uses these wonderful examples of how a small piece of the body can direct the course of your destiny. These are good examples and a good message that James delivers. I think we kind of get it. Though it's a small part, it has huge impact, right? Because there's your next one, the tongue is directive. The tongue is directive. It has a control. Out of the abundance of the heart, the tongue speaks, Jesus would say. The tongue speaks what the heart hides. Now listen carefully. Do you think God would design us in such a way as that our ability to reflect holiness, righteousness, and to convey wisdom would be linked to our speech? Do you think God would design us in such a way as that our ability to reflect holiness, righteousness, and convey wisdom is linked to our tongue? I would say it most definitely is. And some, you might know this, better to remain silent in thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. See, the idea that we can gain self-control of this tongue would help us. It would strengthen us if we can even gain control of our entire body. See, you can't control your tongue, you probably aren't really in control of much else going on in your life. This little waggling muscle gets exercised every day, sometimes to the point of exhaustion. Just think, to gain control over your tongue would be pivotal in gaining control over every other part of your life. If the words you use create worlds, if the words you use have influence, if the words you use direct your paths, what words are you speaking over your finances? What words are you speaking over your children? What words are you speaking over your spouse? What words are you speaking over your health? What words are you speaking over other relationships? What words are you using in your own mind when you talk to yourself? The tongue can be a rudder that directs your wealth or it sinks the ship. The tongue can spark a blaze that builds a nice cozy fire, or it can burn the house down. Your tongue can be the bit that steers you in a good direction, or it guides you right to the pits of hell, right there. And this is sad when we think about what we think about, and you don't change or grab hold of what you think about. I could tell Melinda 1,000 times, "You're beautiful, honey. You're wonderful, honey. You're beautiful, honey. I love you, honey. You're beautiful." And she says to herself once in the mirror, "I'm ugly and I hate this." What do you think she's listening to? And that's not an outside source coming in saying, "Hey, I didn't like your sermon today." That's the inner voice. That's the words that are spoken to yourself over and over over and over again. And you can give someone 1,000 "you're beautifuls" and you tell yourself once, I'm ugly, guess who you believe? The tongue has power, massive power, to influence yourself and those that are around you. And listen, we kind of get this. I'm not saying anything that's like really surprising. We're aware, but the reality is we can't help ourselves. We can't help ourselves. We get the idea of the small rudder on a tongue has power and influence, and we're held accountable. And even what's going on in our own heads. And just a small spark in your own head can lead to a forest fire in your own mind. Panic and anxiety, and loss of self-control, imagining the worst, and people just go on and on and on and on and on and on and on in their own minds. Listen, better to take every thought captive that leads to your destruction and to your demise. There are words that you would never say to another person that you say to yourself all the time. When I catch Melinda, just as an example, saying things to herself like that, if I caught anyone else saying something like that, I would slap their face. See, we're helpless to it. James is pretty clear. We're helpless to it. We often wonder why I'm miserable. Why am I in a panic? Why am I so scared? Well, what are you telling yourself over and over and over again? You're telling yourself you're broke. You're telling yourself you're not healthy. You're telling yourself that you're not in a good relationship. You're telling yourself that you're ugly. You're doing these things over and over. And the words create worlds. And you've got a world of stuff going on in your own little brain. And you're not taking captive the thoughts and the words that you're speaking to yourself. You thought this was just about tongues to somebody else. It is, but there's way too much going on, self-chatter in your own brain. You are directing a horse, steering a course, sparking a flame in your own life by the words that you're speaking to yourself. We know this. Hurt people, scared people, scare people. Are you hurting and scaring yourself? Gaining control over the tongue can lead us into better pastures and better waters. And a more positive outlook on your own life and your own self. The sheep know my voice, says the Lord. The sheep know my voice. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. Do you know the voice of the Holy Spirit of God? Do you know the voice of Jesus when he's speaking to you? Do you know the word when it comes to you, that this is the word of God? Do you know the word of God that is coming into your mind? Do you know what you're speaking to yourself is the word of God, or is it the devil himself on your own tongue? Gaining control, easier said than done, right? James knows this, of course he does. All kinds of animals and birds and reptiles and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Man. I think he's kind of reminding us that we have a tendency to even poison our own selves. And see, Jesus, James is reminding us of that creation thing again. Man has domination over creation. Animals that are faster, animals that are taller, animals that are stronger, animals that can fly. We dominate. We have control over them. We tame them. We even work around them. But this little bit of a thing cannot be tamed. It's a restless evil. It's that part of the flesh. We always talk about the distinction between flesh and the spirit, and the flesh and the spirit, and the flesh and the spirit, and your tongue is just a restless evil. It's the restless part of the flesh that just keeps going and never stops. full of evil and full of poison. Do you know the voice of the Holy Spirit of God that speaks to you? Do you know the voice of Christ? Do you know the Word of God in your own heart, in your own mind? Do you know what the devil sounds like? Do you know what the devil sounds like? To know the voice of the devil, what it sounds like, all you have to do is listen how you speak to your neighbor. To hear the voice of the enemy and to hear the voice of Satan and to hear the voice of the devil, all you have to listen to is how they speak to their family. How politicians degrade one another. How parents handle their children. Hell has a very distinct sound, and it sounds like hatred. It sounds like envy. It sounds like racism. It sounds like jealousy. It sounds like sin. Do you know the voice of the devil? Because I'm not sure that some of the evil and the sound that he makes comes right out of your tongue. It's restless evil. Intentionally trying to hurt someone, intentionally trying to cut them down, and that borderlines evil. And it should sound like nails on a chalkboard in our head, or a squeaky door. It should sound like dissonance in our ears when we hear it. We should recognize it clearly. Sorry, I woke you up back there, man. The sounds coming out of our own mouth can bring hell on earth. James's words. It's poisoning our environment. It's polluting your own soul. And you don't even have to look out to the world. All you have to do is just take captive of your own thoughts. Straight from the pits of hell. We have lying tongues. We have critical tongues. We have gossiping tongues. We have lustful tongues. We have disrespectful tongues. We have bitter tongues. We have hateful tongues and judgmental tongues. And even if you were to speak in the tongues of angels, and you could speak 1,000 different languages, but you did not have love, you're nothing but a resounding gong. Gong, gong. Take heed. Blah, 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 blah. All I hear is the poison coming out of your mouth. I don't hear the words of God. I don't hear the love of God. I hear the bitterness of evil. I hear the resentfulness and hatefulness of this world. Mind your tongue. And if you can't, what a wonderful example of no self-control. You lack the fruit of the Spirit of self-control. Remember this one? Jesus rebukes Peter for not wanting the things of God. Jesus says, hey, I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to have to be killed. Peter says, that should never be, Lord. May it never be. And here's Peter. And excuse me, here's Jesus. Get thee behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You want the things of the world. You do not want the things of God. Isn't that like saying you're for me or you're against me? You want your ways or do you want God's ways? The things that are coming out of your mouth are not of God. Peter, the things that are coming out of your mouth are not of God. And they're certainly not from God. Better to remain silent. Listen, my mouth has gotten me into a lot of trouble. Rarely has my silence. Oh, we praise God, our Lord and Father. And with the tongue, that same tongue, we curse human beings. We who have been made in God's likeness, even ourselves, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. See, there's this huge disconnect between the worship of God, and what wonderful worship. Love to worship God. Love singing songs. Love praising God. Love honoring God. Love to see the people of God doing all that. But there's this huge disconnect between worshiping God and the people that God has made. See, we often love all the mountains and all the things that God has created, and we love the seas and the turtles and the sunsets and all the wonderful things that he's done. And then we look at people, another creation of God, and we show contempt. Or we criticize, or we put down those that are created in God's image, even though their behavior may be terrible from all the things that they've been telling themselves. Perhaps we've forgotten that all the ways that we honor and worship God is far more than a few songs on a Sunday morning. That our actions and our words honor God. This is James to the core. James to the core. Words and actions. That our words reflect what we believe about God and his creation. To sing, "I love you, Lord," and then say, "I hate my neighbor," is inconsistent, to say the least. Your words reveal who you really are. If you really want to know how your heart is, pay attention to the words it produces. The tongue is deceptive and full of evil, and you cannot tame it. The best we can do is train it. The best we can do is train it. Like a circus tiger, right? Always a tiger. Always a tiger. You can train the tiger, jump through hoops and do back rolls and all kinds of things. You can train the tiger, but you can't never tame the tiger from being a tiger. So, some of the things that I've been able to do, some tongue training techniques, I'm going to offer them to you, okay? Some tongue training techniques. Train your tongue. Because some people, the way in which I hear them speak to me, they would say something like, "Hey, can I address the congregation?" No. "Yeah, but I have something to say." "Yeah, I've heard how you say it." No. The reality is that we cannot tame the tongue. We need the intervention of the Holy Spirit of God to do his work within us so that we display more of the fruits of the Spirit. Kindness, patience, goodness, love, self-control. What do you have self-control of? If you don't have self-control over this little thing, probably not much else going on that you have self-control over. And listen, we need God to refresh, listen, just refresh our breath, right? Some of you got some bad breath, if you understand what I mean, right? We need some minty, fresh Jesus coming out of our mouths. We need God to reframe some of our words. Reframe them, God. It's not the point that it's bad. It's the method and the language I'm putting behind it. We need God to do some work in our thoughts and in our speech. I believe we can train ourselves to not curse. I did. Melinda did. We can train ourselves to not curse others, not swear. I don't think you'll ever tame it. But I think you can train it. We can train ourselves to remain silent. That we might think before we speak. That we might become a little slower in our reactions and responses. We can train ourselves. And it really is interesting that James kind of goes into two types of wisdom, and we'll cover some of that, an earthly wisdom and a heavenly wisdom. And I'm pretty confident that the words that we use express our maturity or express our immaturity and express our wisdom, the words that we would use. So one of the first deeply spiritual things I ever did was to fast. Now listen, I fast speech. Some of you have been around here since the day I got here. 15 years ago, I didn't go into the parsonage. I came here, and I stayed here for a week, and I fasted speech. Y'all can come visit me if you want. There's the Word of God's on the pulpit. You can read the Word of God, and you can pray over me, but I'm not talking. I'm listening. For a week. Fasting speech. It was one of the most deeply spiritual things I ever did. And I did not even realize the entire impact it would have on my spiritual walk. All the things that God would show me and reveal to me when I'm silent. And I'm not flapping my tongue. And I'm listening. And listen, I knew a lot of people. They come out of seminary. They're trying to practice their spiritual language. They're trying to practice their spiritual tongues. You know, they're trying to get the sermon down right so they have all the eloquence of the proper pronunciations of the prepositions. They're working on the. And I went the other way. I went, I need to shut up. The tendency is for preachers to talk too long. I need to learn to limit my words and make them effective and powerful. I need to learn how to stop talking. Made a huge difference. And part of that is because I'm a very confidential person. See, when I got ordained, I thought ordination meant something very specific. That if you came and told me something, it didn't go anywhere else. I needed to learn to shut my mouth. Confidentiality was huge to me. It should be to you. If someone confides in you or shares with you, entrusts you, that you know. And you've trained your tongue to remain silent, right? So that's the first one there, the discipline of silence. Listen, not only it helped curb my ambition to talk, it guided my ears to listen. Train your tongue to remain silent. I know you do it while you sleep. And listen. I don't know why the Lord gave this to me, but if you find that the Lord is speaking to you in your dreams, it may be because he can't get through all the words you're saying when you're awake. Listen for God. Stop talking at God and listen. That was a very helpful technique. The next one. Was substitute your words. Substitute your words. What does that mean? Train your tongue to say, forget it. Instead of some other F-bomb. Fire truck. Instead of something else. Train your tongue. Train your tongue. Maybe you hear the curse in your own mind. Maybe you hear the swear in your own mind. But you have enough self-control that it doesn't come out of it. You with me? How are you practicing? What do you practice? What does your tongue express? The things that are coming out of the heart. It does prove a tremendous amount of self-control when you can take control of the thought and express it in a different way. That's just two simple things that I had to learn to do that I did. I didn't even really realize way back when, so many years ago, that was like a spiritual thing. That was like something I could teach on or talk on. But here it is. Here it is. Maybe for the benefit of your maturity, so that you can gain some better understanding about your own tongue and how to control or train your tongue. Here's the next one. Don't tear people down. Just refuse to tear people down. See, I have this full envision, right? And it's always haunted me. It's never happened, but it's always haunted me. Here comes the wife. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba about her husband. I can't believe it. That, and he's such a terrible person. That I can't believe, man, what he's all. And then they get back together, and she says, you can't believe what Pastor Stan says about you. What? Don't tear people down. Don't ever tear people down. Don't ever tear people down. Just don't do it. Refuse to speak badly concerning another person. Now, if the husband wants to come and dump about the wife, and the wife wants to come and share about, let him, come on. I'm a very confidential person. It doesn't go anywhere. But some people I need you to understand. I need, right? Man, now you're a great minister, Pastor. You know why? Why? Because you can listen. You do great counseling. Why? Your words are few and you listen a lot. Yes, because sometimes that's all people need. They need the listening ear to feel as if you understand. But never refuse. Don't tear people down. Refuse to tear them down. Look at them as God's wonderful creation, created in his image. I would even suggest, man, if you really can get control of your tongue, you might even offer some positive affirmations, especially if everybody else is beating somebody up, then you might be able to go, well, they're created in the image of God. We must love them anyway. And look way past behavior and look to creation. See, now you're talking, I don't know, the words of Christ and not the ways of the world. If someone is tearing you down, keep in mind they are already below you. And blowing out someone else's candle doesn't make your light shine any brighter. You hear me? Yeah. I'm just sharing right out of the word. I'm not saying we have any of those problems here in this church. This is a wonderful group of people. We don't have this problem. But it's good to reiterate, isn't it? Because we all have control of our tongues, right? Sure we do. Refuse to tear people down. Here's your last one. Speak truth. Speak truth. Just speak truth. Bite your tongue if you're about to lie. Bite your tongue if you're even about to exaggerate things. You don't need to do that. The truth will speak for itself. Just add your voice to it, right? Be the voice of Christ, or you can be the voice of the devil. You can offer encouragement or you can offer the poison. All right, now listen. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done and the humility that comes from wisdom. This is classic James, right? Much of what we've covered even last week. Faith in action. Show it by your good life, by your good deeds. This comes with wisdom. You love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. Yes, I do, of course. I love God. Prove it. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition to your hearts, do not boast about it or even deny its truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly. It's unspiritual. It's demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambitions, there you'll find disorder and every kind of evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Then peace-loving and considerate and submissive and full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. James introduces us into two kinds of wisdom. Here you go. Wise is your next slide, and otherwise. There's wise and then there's otherwise. Mr. Otherwise, I would say, does not have wisdom that comes from heaven, right? That's what James would say. And earthly wisdom derived out of his own selfish ambitions, his own jealousy, and his own envy. The earthly ambition is often acquainted with all of that hatred, tones of strife. These are internal problems, folks. Problems of the heart. Too much self-absorption and self-centeredness. Otherwise, his heart set on the things of the earth, things of the world, earthly rewards, earthly possessions, worldly ways, man's morality and mortality. Otherwise, may have street credit, but man, they've got a heavenly deficit. Otherwise, knows worldly techniques and solutions and strategies, but does not bring the divine into any of the consideration conversation. The wise gain wisdom from above. The wise look for the Lord for guidance. The wise listen to how the Lord speaks and what he says. The wise know the voice of God. The wise are not usually tooting their own horns. And the wise know that the wisdom comes down from heaven to guide their lives, and it's heavenly inspired. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Wrap your mind around what that even is, what that even means. The purity of wisdom, God's wisdom, that's pretty close. Pure, by definition, is without any additives. Pure, without any unnecessary elements. Pure is not a mixture of any other substance or material. It is pure. It is free from contamination. This is the wisdom that comes from heaven. Where are you getting your stuff? Where are you getting your knowledge? Where are you gaining your wisdom? Where are you getting your understanding? The wisdom that comes from heaven is pure, free from contamination, free from envy and strife and the additives of hate and prejudice, environment, free from the elements of this world. Pure heavenly wisdom, free from the contamination of a condemned world. Pure and free from the stains of the past, free from tainted political views, free from the poisons of temptations, free from bitterness and forgiveness, free from sin, the wisdom that would come from heaven. Heavenly wisdom is first of all pure. We need the thoughts of God. We need the wisdom of God and from God, not from my neighbor, from God. Seeking godly wisdom and guidance doesn't magically appear. The wise seek it. The wise ask for it. The wise desire it more than the things of the condemned world. And I would say this, it's pretty rare. And you'll find your companions getting fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer that want to walk the ways of God when others want to walk the ways of the world. That wisdom that comes down from above is pure, and it is also peace-loving. Oh man, do we need some peace. All these attributes of heaven that flow from above into our own hearts, they flow into our hearts right now. This is not an eternal end-of-life scenario. It is right here, right now, available for you. Wisdom that comes from heaven, available for you. Considerate, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. And listen, as I look at my own life, I often see way too much earthly wisdom and not enough heavenly wisdom. Dealing with the ways of this world, dealing with some of the things that Christian and Judith are dealing with, legal issues, financial issues, political issues, restraints and regulations, laws of the land, health care battles, insurance coverages, hurricanes, tornadoes, fires, populations, explosions, immigration, inflation, taxation, education, and the election. Are you kidding me? The weight of the world will bury you. How do you find wisdom in the midst of all of that? And here we are trying to navigate all of that. And I can promise you, most of that, if not all of that, not very pure. I believe that today we can gain some heavenly wisdom. I've learned way too much about this world because we have to deal with it. We have to cope in it. We have to live in it. We don't have to receive the wisdom of it. The Lord will shower upon us all that we need to succeed in this world. Do you believe in that? The Lord will provide all that you need to succeed in this world in fulfillment of His plan for you. Pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord. Fall afresh upon us in this place today. Land in our hearts and open us up to receive that which you might have for us. This is the moment, this is the place, and these are the people. Look around. Look around. It's us. This is the moment. These are the times when you can stay silent. And just ask God, fill me, Lord. Fall afresh upon me. Save my wretched soul. Help me control my tongue. Let me pray with you. In this moment, Father, hear our heart's desires. Those that are seeking you, respond to them. Those that desire wisdom, may you give it and impart it upon them. May we learn to hear your voice. Take captives our thoughts. Control our tongue. May we be the creation that you desire for us to be. And to love the creation that you have created. An amazing God. I pray you meet every need, fulfill every spiritual desire. In the name of your Son, amen.